Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What if being a champion had nothing to do with winning? In The Making of Champions, you'll meet Nick, a kid with big dreams, a sharp sense of humor, and a determination that refuses to quit, even when life throws its toughest challenges his way. Born with a heart condition that led to cerebral palsy, Nick could have been defined by his limitations, but instead, he redefines what's possible. With the help of his friends, he builds confidence, chases goals, and even trains for the Special Olympics. But there's a twist. This isn't a story about overcoming disability. It's about friendship, community, and discovering the strength that's already inside you. Author Beth Water brings this story to life from her own personal journey, making it real, raw, and incredibly inspiring. If you've ever needed a reminder that you're capable of more than you think, well, this conversation is for you. Redefining what it means to win, our guest, Beth Water, author of The Making of Champions. Beth, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you. Hi.
Well, it's what a great story you tell here. Let's start with your writing. When did you decide to start writing, and why did you decide to write this book, The Making of Champions?
Well, I started writing when I was a little girl. I always loved reading. Readings were my escape from my reality. And I started writing stories to get my little sister to read. And so I discovered that if you put the children's name in the story you're writing, so they feel like it's about them,
yes,
then they're more eager to read. And so I started writing books for my kids, you know, just for fun. And then when my son was born with a heart defect, and he had heart surgery and had brain damage later. There were so many things that we had to go through as a family. There were things that we just had to learn to do differently. And when I saw the things he was achieving, it made me want to share what he had overcome to help other kids. And so, I mean, I've been involved in a lot of things, but the biggest thing that I think I helped kids with was between being a Sunday school teacher and a Boy Scout leader, that you can change lives by just giving them opportunities and teaching the right way to do things so they don't have to overcome mistakes. They can achieve things and feel good about it. And so I always wrote, and then I went to classes. I took a writing class out of New England. It was a New England children's writers organization. And I really enjoyed it, and they told me I should publish my books, and I just never got around to it. And then after Nick started growing up, and he became an Eagle Scout, and he's an artist, and I'm just seeing him do these things, and I'm thinking, how many kids never get that opportunity? And so I want families to realize that their kids have so much more potential. And so I started writing Nick's story, and that's the first one that I thought was worth meant enough to me, I guess, to make it worth going and trying to get it published. Because now I actually can help people in much further range than just teaching a few kids.
You know, it touches so many people when they read the story. It touches young people. It touches old people to maybe reach down and tap into what we have when sometimes we give up or we just hold back because of circumstances that we go through. The book is The Making of Champions by Beth Water. If you're Googling that, Water is W-A-T-T-E-R. And her website, her name, ElizabethWater.com, Elizabeth with an S-E-L-I-S-A-B-E-T-H, water.com. All this on her website, thisweekinamerica.us. This book and another book that we'll talk about that Beth has written on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. You know, you mentioned something that was interesting. This book really can help other families, can it? What kind of response are you getting when people are going through maybe similar circumstances or just have young people that they want to try to encourage and maybe be more open in dealing with other people? How is this impacting other families?
Well, I think the similar response I'm getting, I mean, I've had all very positive response, but then I have some people who say, well, why would you let Nick do this? Isn't this kind of dangerous? Or couldn't he get hurt? And the thing is, you have to let your kids grow up. You have to let them have experiences. And by letting them try things, they discover what they enjoy, what they don't enjoy, what they're good at. If they never get to try it, they don't know. And as long as you check it out and you actually see that it is not a danger, I mean, most things are not that dangerous as long as you have precautions you put in place. Like, Nick loves riding horses. Well, in order for him to ride, he's got to wear a helmet, which is a rule. And then he's got to have a horse that's very mild, you know, good tempered. They've got a special lift to sit him in the saddle. They got these things that make it as safe as they can make it. And so when you look at the opportunities, and you can take a situation and you can make it as safe as you can, but you've got to let them try. And so the families who are saying, well, gee, I think we could try that. They discover their kids have so much more that they can do and that they love. And, you know, that's how you help kids grow up.
What's it like as a parent when you see Nick go through something like that? Now, this is big to get on the horse, and all of a sudden he's up riding the horse. I can imagine his smile was something that captured your attention during that. What was that like when you saw him conquer this, and he's on a horse and he's horseback riding?
Well, the thing is, Nick says that is the closest to flying that you can get. He feels like he's got wings when he's on a horse. And so that just... it makes you realize that it's something that's so uniquely their paradise for a few minutes. You know, he gets to go get on a horse and ride for a half hour or an hour. And during that time, he feels so free. He's not having to roll his chair and all these things that makes life such a challenge. When he's up there, he feels like he's on top of the world. And so it just, the first time he got on a horse was at a summer camp. And then the next time he got on a horse was another summer camp. And then we found, actually, when he was a little boy, he was only maybe 6 or 7 years old. And we had gone out to Colorado for the summer so that he could work with the Denver Children's Hospital. And what their recommendation was this horseback riding therapy. And he got to ride every day while we were out there for the summer. We came back home and there was no place like that for him to have that therapy. And so he ended up having to have surgery on his legs because he couldn't do the riding anymore. Horseback riding is wonderful therapy. It helps your legs relax and stretch out so that if they have tight muscles, tight tendons, riding is excellent, excellent therapy. And that's why we look so hard to find a riding place. It's just for his health. But then to discover the joy that he experienced, that made it, you know, even better.
Oh, yes, like I said, to see the smile that I'm sure he had on his face and probably had on for a long time after going through that experience, that would be heartwarming and certainly worth it. And here's a challenge that he was able to overcome and enjoy and not miss out on because of his limitations, not miss out on that joy of going through life. The Making of Champions is the name of Beth's book, Beth Water, W-A-T-T-E-R, book available wherever books are sold, a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. How about your family? How involved have they been? How supportive have they been during your writing process, especially writing about Nick and his book?
We have a tremendously supporting family. The reason I was able to do so much with Nick over the years is because my husband worked so hard to take care of us. He made sure I had the freedom to do the things I needed to do to give Nick a very rich life. Not financially rich, but the things he got to experience and achieve are things that a lot of families don't just because they can't afford to go out and do those extra things. So we were very fortunate that I had a husband who just took very good care of us. And so by being able to go out and try the different, you know, as a Boy Scout, as a he got to achieve a lot of different merit badges. And what you find in Boy Scouts with the merit badges is as the boys achieve these different things, a lot of times they'll choose what they're going to do for the rest of their life from those merit badges. So they really love the metalworking or they really love the horseback riding therapy. There's so many merit badges to choose from, and they try all these things and they discover what they really love. And so by Nick getting to earn lots of merit badges, he discovered things he really liked and didn't like. And becoming an Eagle Scout, he felt like he really achieved, it's the biggest honor in Boy Scouting. And so every time they achieve something like this, it just, the growth mentally and emotionally is so great.
Talk about Nick you read about Nick in the book, well-rounded person. He deals with hopes, frustrations, with humor and grit. It feels like a real honest portrayal. It feels like a young man you would love to be able to meet. Talk about what Nick is like. Talk about Nick as a person, and then talk about, does he like the aspect, the fact that he's featured in not only this book, but the other book as well? Does he like being a book star?
He does. Whenever I talk about my book, he goes, "It's our book."
Excuse me, Mom, our book, so, yes.
It's our book. And so I'll be sitting doing a book signing, and he'll sit there and he'll just quietly sit there and watch, and people start talking to him. And when they ask him to sign the book, then of course he's got to write Nick underneath where I signed the book. So he gets a real kick out of getting to sign people's books too. But he loves letting people know that he's gone out and done these things, and he loves to show his artwork because he's a wonderful artist. And so just things that have helped him grow into the person he is makes you feel really good that he's had a very rounded life. It's so many parents, you know, we're so busy taking care of our kids, especially special needs kids. They need so much help with this, and it costs so much money to do everything. There is nothing that's cheap for kids with disabilities. It's like everything is so expensive. But when they actually get to go and have the opportunity to go out and achieve something that makes them feel really good, that is worth everything to me. We can save our money and you know, plan things for the future, but what you discover is if you better do it now while they're younger, because once you're older, it's harder.
Yes,
help
it is.
Help your kids grow to be, help them grow to be well-rounded people where they get to have experiences, they get to have joys. Because so many times their life is not a lot of joy. So if we can find things to give them joy, help them feel really good about themselves, that's tremendous.
He also is really big with friendship. Talk about his friends and how they all fit together and they all really do things together and sort of honor each other as they go through life.
Well, he has some really good friends he's had since he started school when he was 4 years old. And he's still got some best friends that he went to school with when he was four. And they get together about once a month and either go to a movie or go to a dance or, you know, go out to eat. Sometimes they come here and we'll have a Easter egg hunt or, you know, we just do things that are fun. But now we're actually talking about his group of friends. Because for a while we had a special scout unit. But once COVID hit, our scouting got shut down. And so now they don't let the scouting program come into the group homes and stuff where we went and did our scouting. And so the group of friends that were tight during that want to do something other than just get together. And so we're actually talking about forming it into actually like a club. So these kids will have something to look forward to. They can pick out the things they want to achieve and things so that it can be very personalized. And it might actually, I was just talking to the Lions Club because we're Lions members, that it might end up being a Lions Club that we put together that will be special just for my unit.
Oh, fantastic.
That we can go out and do service work and they can feel really good about the things that they're doing.
Just amazing stories that come to life in the books and in real life with Nick and his friends and with Beth as they work on all of these activities. This book we're talking about specifically, The Making of Champions, the first book, Champions We Are. Tell me a little bit about that, and could this be a series? Will you be doing other books with a similar theme?
It is a series, and each one will have champions in the title. And so there's two more in the making so far. He's done so many things that it's hard to run out of stories about Nick because he says, geez, I'd like to try that. So we go and try it. And either he loves it or he says, no, we don't have to do that again. So his first book, when he was younger, he just wanted so badly to ride a bicycle. He wanted a red racing bicycle so bad. And actually, Make-A-Wish Foundation gave him his red racing bike. And that was, you know, it opened up a world for him.
Oh,
he got
yes.
to go out and do something he had never done before. But the bike wasn't really safe for him because to ride that bike, a real racing bike, you've got to be, you know, fairly able-bodied in your upper body. So you're on the bike. It's a hand pedal bike. It has the three wheels, and your legs are straight out in front of you. And so you pedal with your hands, which is beautiful. Except in order to put the brake on, you got to let go of the pedal and reach down beside you on the seat to put the brake on. And every time he had to go to put the brake on, he would wreck.
Oh.
And so he, we went to a sports camp, a wheelchair sports camp. And at that camp, a lady had a different kind of bike. It was still three pedals, three wheels, had hand pedals. But all you just pull back on the pedals to stop it.
Yes.
And she had wanted the racing bike. And I'm looking at it thinking, okay, our bike cost a whole lot more than her bike, but it doesn't matter because her bike fit Nick better. And it was blue, and he likes blue, so it all worked out. And so we actually had come home from camp, and she was all the way over by, you know, in Minnesota, which is like 5 hours away. So we got to, you know, responding back and forth, and she says, you know, I really, really want that bike. I said, you know, we really want your bike. So we met halfway. And we traded bikes, and she was so excited to get the racing bike. And so then we brought back home the safer bike for him, and that was a much better fit for him. But riding a bike is, you know, is you don't think about it because I don't ride a bike a whole lot. But when you just sit in a wheelchair and you roll here and you roll there, it's not the same thing as getting on a bike and going fast or getting on a horse and going, you know, those things just like open up your world for you. And so I think the bicycle and the horses have been huge for Nick.
You know, once again,
and
challenges.
Summer camp. Oh, there's just so many things that you can overcome.
Yes.
But you got to figure out how to do it.
Well, that's amazing because he sees the challenge and it's like, I think I can do that. And he conquers it, doesn't he? He sets out to do it he does it.
He wanted to go on a zip line. And I have acrophobia. So going up off the ground, to me, is a nightmare.
Oh, yes. I can relate to that. Yes.
But his summer camp has a zip line. And one summer we went to do some mission work at his summer camp. We rebuilt some stepping stones and worked on buildings. And our church did a mission trip there. And I happened to see that they had this zip line, which he happened to really like. And he talked me into trying out the zip line at camp.
Oh.
And I did it. I did the zip line, and I lived through it. And so then he went to the wheelchair sports camp, and they have an even bigger zip line that goes across the forest, across the river. And he has to do that every time he goes. And it's like, you know, I did the zip line one time. I lived through it. I do not have to do it again. Oh, come on, Mom. Nope, I'm not going to do it again.
Well, especially going over water. Now, when you went through it the one time, when you went on the zipline, were your eyes open? Did you enjoy it? Or were you closed the entire time just waiting to touch ground again?
My eyes were closed. And when I just about came to a stop, so I opened my eyes. And it looked like there was a tree right in front of me. And then I started sliding backwards. So what they do is they build a zipline so that it ends higher at the other end. So instead of going all the way to the end, as you hit a point and you start going backwards. So you go back to the ramp or the deck. They have a deck built. So
yes.
Then you slide back to where that deck is and they get you off of it. But when I stopped and I saw that tree right in front of my face, I think, oh my God, I'm going to die.
That would definitely get your attention. There's no question about
that. Yes, if I hadn't opened my eyes, I'd been okay.
Beth Water, our guest.
They had to push me off the ramp to go. Because I sit there going, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And they pushed me.
Well, you had to do it at that point.
Yeah, so I did it. And when I got off, I'm going, why would you have me go against, why would you put a tree right there for me to hit? They're going, you didn't even get close to that tree. You know, you didn't get within 6 foot of that tree. I said, are you sure? Because it didn't look like it was right in my face.
Well,
you were not close to the tree.
Well, you did it once, and you should be proud of yourself for going through that, and Nick for encouraging you to go through that. The name of that first book is Champions We Are. That, I say, is available wherever books are sold. You can go to Elizabeth Betts' website for that information. And this book, The Making of Champions, we hear the word champion all the time. But in your experience, what does that actually mean? It really doesn't necessarily mean coming in first, does it?
It does not. It means when you have something you need to do or you want to do, and it's important to you. And if it's challenging, so that you really have to want it bad or you have to really work to get it, it doesn't matter if you come in first, is that you overcome what was stopping you from doing it. Like me going on a zip line.
Exactly.
I was a champion that day. For him, he's had much bigger championships than what I do. It's like he was in an art show in Chicago and he got first place in an art show with his paintings. That's a championship, you know? When he achieved the things in Boy Scouts that maybe they weren't as impressive as some of the other guys had done because they went on, you know, built some huge, you know, eagle projects and things. And Nick has a very nice eagle project, but it took a lot of people. He had 300 people helping him achieve his eagle project, which is part of becoming an eagle, is that it isn't you going out and doing a project, it's you getting people to work with you to do the project. And so every time you achieve something that's a challenge, you are a champion. It doesn't matter if it's a ribbon or a trophy or just in your heart, you know, I did it. You're a champion.
What about your journey and what have you learned in writing the stories? How has all of this impacted you? Starting with the fact that you're a mother and you've got issues with your son. He has problems that you were dealing with. Disabilities that you were dealing with. What was that like going through that process, getting Nick to where he is today, this well-rounded young person, and then writing this book and sharing all of this? What has this been like for you?
Well, there's been years when he first became disabled. Like he was only 8 months old when he had his brain damage from his heart surgery. And so back then, it was like just getting through each day and keeping him alive. And first, the doctors had said that he wouldn't live past his first birthday. And then they said he wouldn't live past being a teenager. He's 44 now, and he's healthier than he's ever been. His heart's doing
amazing.
Great. His lungs will always be an issue because his lungs collapsed after heart surgery. That's why he got the brain damage. So he will always have asthma and some breathing issues and complicates his life to some degree. But what we've learned is that each thing – you take one thing at a time. If you try to look at the whole situation, it can be so overwhelming. If you take each day and you make it through that day and it's gone good, then you compliment yourself and say, good job.
Yes.
If it's been a tough day, say, well, tomorrow's a new day and we'll get through it too. And the fact that we are strong Christians makes a huge impact in our life. When he was in intensive care and he was hooked up to so many machines and they weren't sure he was even going to wake up again, I never felt like I was alone because I had my faith and I knew God was always with me. And so I think having a strong faith gets you through so many things that are tough in life. Nick has a very strong faith. And he actually talked about he would really like to be a minister. And I said, oh, there's some complications with you being a minister. So, you know, we'll talk about it as it goes along. But it's something he cannot read and write real well. And, you know, to go to school and be a minister, it takes quite a bit of reading and writing.
Yes.
And more than what he is capable of doing. And so you have to look at what, you know, possibilities are and what just might be too tough to do. And so we try to, you know, talk about the different things. And I've told him that in all reality, he is kind of a minister because when he talks to people.
Well, yes, when he witnesses,
people,
yes.
Oh, yeah, but he is a minister. He'll just never be one of those educated, paid ministers. But he, you know, he gives people such encouragement and they go out and do things that, you know, they wouldn't have done otherwise. But, you know, getting him through school was hard because you kind of have to fight with teachers all the way through because they didn't have the same priorities of education as what we had for him. So we got him through school, and we taught him a lot that the school didn't think was important. And then as an adult, I thought once he's out of school, we wouldn't have to fight anymore. And then you discover that even after they're out of school, you're still going to fight for them to be able to get the services they need, to be able to go out and do the things they
yes.
want to do. It's not like you can just do what you want. You actually have to make things happen sometimes. And so I've discovered that I have the ambition or the strength or whatever God gave me to make sure that Nick has opportunities. that we don't ever just stop and say, nope, they say we can't do that. It's said, well, why can't we? You know, is it possible to adapt it? Is, you know, we try to look at the whole picture and bring it down to what we would have to do to let Nick do it. And so we've gone on cruises and we've gone flying in the jet planes. And, you know, we've done things that were challenging. But every time you get it done, you think, okay, we did it.
Well, yes.
And then you look for the next adventure.
Well, challenging, but you accomplish. And it's just an amazing story, Nick's story and Beth's story and the books that tell this message, spread this message in a way that young people will read and be able to relate. Older people can read and relate as well. Champions We Are and The Making of Champions. You touched on that there briefly, and I want to take a few minutes here at the end to talk about schoolyard prejudices, which Nick discusses in the book, competing in Special Olympics, or you discuss going through that in the book. How difficult was that, and how much of a problem was that with the prejudices? And you mentioned even with the administration and the teachers, that was prevalent sometimes.
Well, I think the big thing we learned is you pick your battles.
Yes.
If you go in there and complain about every little thing, they don't listen to you. They kind of tune you out when you're just a person that complains all the time. And so you pick out what is worth fighting for and what you can live with. And I think you find that in general in life. You can't gripe and fight about everything and nobody listens to you. And so that was the way it was at school. That's the way it was with scouting. Is if you had somebody who wasn't comfortable with the situation, you know, we would talk about it and say, okay, this is what we can do to make this happen. It's like when we're going to be an Eagle Scout. Well, the one thing that he could not do was swim. And that's one of the required merit badges. And swimming is all the water things would be like the boats, the swimming, the life rescuing. There's certain things that are part of the water thing, which you could not do. And so we had to do a whole bunch of other merit badges to make up for not being able to do that specific one. And so you find ways to work around, you know, what is too tough or just impossible. The prejudice is not always, people think prejudice is like somebody's really mean or ugly or treats you bad or doesn't allow you to do things. Sometimes prejudice is because of ignorance. Not ignorance, mean calling somebody a name. It's in them not knowing or understanding what it is you're trying to do. They look at Nick and he's sitting in a wheelchair and they think, oh, well, he can't do that.
Yes.
And I say, well, what do we need to adjust to make it so he can do this, you know? And that's how our whole life has been, is we take each one that says, well, he can't do that. I'm going, why not? There's certain things I would not let him do. I won't let him parachute.
I was going to say, keep him away from parachutes. Yeah, keep him away from parachutes and airplanes with open doors. Don't let him there because he would try that the way it sounds.
He has no fear, which is terrifying to me because everybody needs a little bit of fear.
Oh, yes.
Because it keeps us safe. But the fact is he's willing to try things makes it so that his life is, you know, well-rounded. It really is.
There are so many lessons for all of us in the books, Champions We Are and The Making of Champions. It's a book that challenges perceptions, expands horizons. You'll read it. More than just stories in there. It's something that what they go through, what Nick and his friends go through, things that we can all adapt to our daily lives, and like picking fights. You don't pick a fight every time a fight comes up. You pick the ones you think you got a good chance of winning, and you go with that. There's so many things that discussed in the book that will apply to all of us in our lives. It's just an amazing story with Nick. Beth, how do you want people to, what's your hope as they read the books? I know you've dedicated your life to really helping people, motivating people, younger people going through issues. What do you hope the reader takes away, young and old, from reading your books?
Well, I guess I want them to look at themselves and say, okay, you know, what am I not doing? What am I not trying because I look at it and go, that might be hard for me to do, or you know, it's like open up your mind to saying, you know, if it's not going to hurt me, it's not going to hurt somebody else. If it's something that is just, I'm a little bit afraid of it. If you try to achieve it, you discover that you overcome that fear. And as long as we're moving forward and we're achieving even little things, we're champions. If we're looking at something and we're not doing it because it's a little bit scary, or we might have to ask for help. Some people don't like asking for help, and asking for help is not a bad thing, but you try it yourself first. If
yes.
you need help, you ask for help. And what happens is when you ask someone for help, they might get to experience something they would have never done. I am doing things with Nick that I would never have done by myself. I went fishing with my grandpa when I was a little girl. So I enjoyed it as a social thing to go hang out with my grandpa. Well, Nick loves fishing. So we go on a fishing trip every year up to Hayward, Wisconsin. And I put worms on the hook and everything. And I would have never done this because it just wasn't my thing. And, you know, it's like going out on 20-mile walk-a-thons. I would have just never done it. But it was something that was for Nick. And so we wore up tires on his wheelchair going on this 20-mile walk-a-thon. And so the things that, you know, that they weren't important to me enough to even consider doing them before. Well, once you become, you recognize the importance of something, or you see, why not try that to see, you know, if I might like it or if somebody else might help me, and together we can do something great. You know, that makes you feel really good.
Well, I was going to say, talk about the feeling that you have when you did the zip lining. You were scared to death of doing that. You did do that. I'm sure afterwards you felt like, boy, I'm proud of myself. I really accomplished something. What was that like when you actually did it?
First, it was terrifying. I kept my eyes shut. And I'm sure I screamed most of the way because I thought for sure I was going to like crash on the ground. And then I thought I was going to hit the tree. And then when we landed, it's like, oh my God, I lived through it. But I only had to do it once. I've had that pleasure now. I've lived through it. I'm good.
Well, you can live off of that. Well, yeah, you can live off of that elation for the rest of your life. You conquered it. You did it. The books
that's
are
right.
So well written. The first book, Champions We Are, that's out there, as well as The Making of Champions. There will be more. And if you go to her website, it's elizabethwater.com, W-A-T-T-E-R, Elizabeth with an S. You'll be able to, she's got a blog there, great information on the books. You'll find out what she's got upcoming there as well. A link, of course, on her website, thisweekinamerica.us. Beth, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Great stories, great motivation. Congratulations on two successful books in the series. Congratulations to
Thank
Nick for
much.
All that he's accomplished in his life and all that he's still a young guy. He's got a lot more that I'm sure he's going to accomplish. Thank you for joining us on the program today.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You are listening to This Week in America. Catch us on the 28 podcast platforms that we're on, including Apple, Spotify, iHeart, and many more. Also available on YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and beyond. And be sure to like and comment and subscribe as you go to the various podcasting and social media platforms for us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.